share. Remember, if the Lord lays something on your heart, please share. If I ask a question, it's because I want you to answer it, not me. But it's about walking in the will of God in sanctification. But I think many times we try to put the cart before the horse. We try to pull the horse, push the cart. So I'm hoping that the Lord gave me a... I enjoyed studying it and looking at it, so I hope you do as well. And I hope it makes sense. So let's pray. Father, we do just thank you, Lord, that you moved us to be here. We know that you have something to say because it's who you are. So I pray that you would give us ears to hear. Lord, that you would open up our understanding, Lord. We don't want to gain book knowledge, Lord. We want to see Jesus. So, Lord, we ask that you would just open up our hearts that we might see you. Lord, increase our faith that we might walk with you. And, Lord, that we would just, through these things, fall more in love with you and allow you to have your way in us and through us. And we just thank you for this time together, and we just praise you in Jesus' name. Anybody, we're going to be doing some flipping. We're going to be in the New Testament, Old Testament, and back and forth and all around. But my first, I want to start with 1 Thessalonians 4. And I can't do that. So, in verse 3 and 4. We learn the will of God for our lives, which I think is awesome in many ways when it can just point blank just tell you what God's will is for you. It makes it simple. The gospel is simple. The walk with Christ is simple. But it's impossible in our flesh. So, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. And here's our part, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. So it's God's will for you to be sanctified, and it's also his desire that you learn how to possess your sanctification. And this is why I say getting the cart before the horse, that I'm going to try to make this happen. I'm going to do this. So the first question is what is sanctification? What is it?
Setting apart. Separating.
Separating, okay. Anything else to that?
Unto God.
Unto God, okay. It means unto holiness. It's for a purpose, consecration. It's to be called out, to be pulled out, and to pulled unto. But when you're being pulled out and up to the... And when you're being sanctified or called and drawn to the Lord, it's also a pulling away, a looking away. It's not just, I'm going after the Lord. It's also looking off. It's looking unto the author and finisher of our faith and looking off the things of the world that lead us. It's a two-part, but the reality is it all is encompassed in one, because he says you're always going to focus. You're either going to love the one and hate the other. We're not designed to go more than one direction. Although we do it many times, the Lord's desire is for us to keep our eyes fixed on him. So I wanted to give you Old Testament in Exodus 33.
Can I say one point, though?
Yes, sir.
There's another way to say what this says. You cannot be
neutral. Well, that would be a third part, yeah.
You cannot be neutral.
Neutral, okay, yeah.
There's no neutral either.
For me or you're against me. You either scatter or you draw. It's always one or the other. With that?
I'd rather have you hot or cold, not lukewarm.
Exactly. I want you to see it's God's will for your sanctification. It's also his will that you learn how to possess it. But I want to show you through the scripture that it ain't a work of you. And it's always a work of Christ.
And here's the thing. You're learning.
said learn, it's a process. Once you accept Christ, it is up to us to be sanctified, but only to a point. The rest of it is learning. That's where hardships, you're wondering, Lord, why is this happening to me? What you should say is, Lord, teach me what you're trying to teach. I work with cancer patients, and I get this. Why God allow this? And I said, well, he allowed it so you might learn something. So you can teach someone else.
And the learning process is to know him and to grow in the grace and knowledge of him. Everything we go through in life is to bring us to a place where we get our eyes fixed on Jesus. And we stop relying on ourselves and anyone else. He's going to strip every god you have out of your life. And that could be yourself. So I thought this was a really neat verse, the way Moses wrote this in Exodus 33. Because I think it's a really good idea to understand how it's a work of God. And you guys probably know this, and we're going to get there. But Exodus 33:16, Moses is talking to God, and God, this is at the mountain, and God's like, I'm not going with you people. And Moses is like, whoa, whoa, whoa. If you don't go with us, then we're not going. And so his conversation with the Lord is, he says, how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight? Except you go with us. And I think that's a beautiful way to understand that this walk with the Lord, he's calling us unto sanctification, he's calling us unto himself. But unless I find grace in his sight and the Lord to walk with me through it, it's impossible to draw myself near to the Lord. It's a walk and a work that God's got to be with in you to will and to do for his good pleasure. Right? To will, what's his will? To sanctify you. Right? Now,
here's a little point to what he says.
I can talk.
When the Hebrews were brought out of Egypt, headed towards the promised land, and when they got there, now you got to realize they're walking through the desert and they've got God right in front of them, leading them, physically leading them, either by smoke or by flame at night. So he's always right there, and yet he does all these miracles on the way to the promised land. And they get to the promised land, and all of a sudden, oh no, there are giants, we don't want to go.
Calls them 38 years of wandering.
Yeah. And that's because of their stiff-neckedness. And he waited till that whole generation died off, and there was a new generation, and they didn't hesitate. And so God's doing you and asking, who are you trying to show me? Because I'm filming.
Yeah. So in Exodus 30, the rest of that verse says, the rest of what Moses says, it says, so we shall be separate. Your people and I from all the people of the earth. That's why I like that. It's a kind of a picture of sanctification. Because as God walks with us, because of his grace, that it puts us to a point where it pulls us away from the things of the world and unto the Lord. and it separates you. So you see how it both works hand in hand. He's pulling you, he's walking with you, and he's taking you away, and it's making you different than the rest of the world. That our lives should look differently because God is with us. Now, the other part of that is in 1 Corinthians, I think everybody knows this verse. Like, how can I do something impossible on my own? But we're told in 1 Corinthians, verse 30, but him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That it is written, he who glories, let him glory. You see, the thing God's will for your life is for you to understand and see that it's a work of Christ in you. The only way anything can happen through God's calling and drawing is a work of Christ doing it in you. Actually, just doing it for you. You see, and then I want to show you how he did it and the things he said and how it can translate, I think, to our lives and agreeing with God and resting and trusting that the work is complete and in him. And it's being completed as we surrender and walk with him. So, and actually just get revelation of it being done. That I understand that my purpose and why I'm here is because God's calling me to himself and away from the things around me. That I stop looking to my own sufficiency and trust in Christ's sufficiency. So, with that said, we're going to spend a little time in John 17. And then we're going back to the Old Testament. So, I'm going to pick up, this is, a lot of people call it the high priestly prayer of Jesus. So, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I want to pick it up in verse 17. John 17. And it says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, and this isn't, that's a key, as you have sent me. Not me, but this is Jesus speaking. I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they may be sanctified. Right? So this is the beautiful part of chapter 17 in Jesus' prayer. He's talking about the 11 disciples here. Right? But now he picks up and we're all included. Because he says, I don't pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. In the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, and you in me. That they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you've loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you have loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me, and I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them. So, we see some basic principles. It says, sanctify, set them apart by your truth. Well, we know Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, so we have a person that takes that, but the truth is his word, the word of God, right? So he allowed, the word will teach us this separation process, this sanctification process, which is a work that's completed. You are complete with him, but you're also being completed. So there's a finished work done, and that's why our verse, one of our favorite, is to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. It's a progressive, ongoing learning of who Christ is and what he's doing for you and what he's done for you and how he's called and drawn and that he's in you. And that the oneness that he had with the Father, you have it as well. And it's coming under you. Now, it's being understood and being aware and walking in that. And it probably won't ever happen till we see him. Then we'll be like him. It says in 1 John. But Jesus said in verse 24, and I kind of want to start with here, because he said, I desire. And yeah, but when you read the word, hear the word desire, anybody have a verse comes to mind? Probably a lot of them. Psalms 37, 3 and 4. Because I want to talk to you about, this is kind of like the process. When I say the process, it's really just walking in love. Sorry, my left hand's not working. Verse 37:3 says, trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land, and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring forth your righteousness as a light and your justice as noonday. I could keep reading. Where to stop? So we see that this verse, when it says delight yourself in the Lord and God will give you the desires of your heart, it doesn't mean bring a wish list to the Lord and tell him you love him. This means delight yourself in who God is. Feed on his faithfulness, and he's going to change your desires to meet his desires, so that your desires become the will of the Father. Right? At least that's my going with it.
When we're young, kids always get desires. Dad, I want a bike. Dad, I want this. Dad, I want that. As we get older, especially when we become dads, we have our desires. And as we walk with the Lord, we try and make sometimes our desires the same as God. They may not mix at all. And it takes time to learn. And I always pray, Lord, if you want me to do this, if you do, I will. No, I won't. Because that way I know I'm doing what you want me to do. And somewhere along the line, in my doing, I realize either I'm doing what he wants me to or I'm not doing what he wants me to. And but I always start out. I'm always willing. Okay. And God loves a willing heart. But he'll stop me and say, no, no, go over here and do this. And I say, all right. Something else will come up and I'll go down that road a little bit. If that's where he wants me to be, I can continue going down that road. If it isn't, he'll stop me. I guess he's going to be stopped. Sometimes the stopping is hard. I know of one couple that I counseled that was going to get married. Oh, and they love each other and all this and that, except the problem. The girl was Christian. guy wasn't. And I told him, I says, you're both going to be miserable because you're both going in opposite directions. So I'm walking and going, oh, but I can change Italy. You can't change Italy. Only God can do that. And you got to realize that. And they thought about it, and the more we got into counseling, they decided they were not going to get married. Because they were getting more and more miserable, both of them, in counseling. I remember, one wasn't a Christian, and one was, and she was more miserable than he was. Because God would tell him, no. And he will stop you. You may not always like the way he does it, but he will do it. If you're accidentally, not necessarily intentionally, going down the wrong road. Did I ruin your preaching? Okay.
If it's mine, it's already ruined. It's the Lord's for good. See, remember we saw that delight yourself in the Lord and He'll give you the desires of heart. Now I'm going to Psalm 40. And verse 6 through 8. Sacrifice and offering. And this is something to really understand. Sacrifices and offerings you do not desire. Didn't He set up the Levitical system and everything with sacrifices? Sacrifice and offering you do not desire. My ears you've opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you don't require. We got a whole book of Leviticus and the, you know, how do we deal? This is the heart of someone that understands the heart of God, which is written by God through inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And then he said, behold, I come in the scroll of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. Now, I know that a lot of everybody's going to say, this is Jesus. If you go to Hebrews, you're going to see it speaking of mankind as well. The whole book, the scriptures have been written for us to walk in the will of God. Now, us coming to a point where we can say, I delight to do the will. And the reason why I went to delight yourself and He'll give you the desires, because when Jesus prayed, He said, I desire. Where did Jesus get that desire? Jesus, we're taught in Scripture that He did nothing on His own on this earth. He said nothing unless the Father moved Him or speak. He only spoke the words which the Father spoke to Him. Right? It was a work of the Father that Jesus understood His will when He walked in the fulfillment of it. And He separated Himself and He delighted Himself in the Lord, and God gave Him His desires. So His desire that we would be one starts with the Father. It's the heart of God the Father. It's important to understand that. We don't have two God-Father figures in the Bible. There's only one. We don't have a mean Old Testament God and a God of grace in the New Testament. It's one. We only have one ruler. But I just love the fact that I delight to do your will. So as I delight to do the will of God, which, what is it? We just learned it in 1 Thessalonians. It's the will of God for you, for sanctification. Jesus understood that. Jesus was set apart for consecrated and sent. He humbled Himself and became a man to walk in what it took to walk out that sanctification. So I just think it's neat that you see Jesus walk, you see the Word, we're set apart, sanctified by His truth. So we know it's God's desire, or His will, that I'm sanctified. So my part is to agree with that and come to a place where I come to that to be my delight, to do your will. Lord, call me, draw me. pull me away from the things you don't want me near, so that I can live a life totally surrendered to your will. Does that seem scriptural?
I like the part where, and he says, I don't desire the sacrifices. Why? What was all the sacrifices? And it was for sin. Or the recognition of God. That's what they all did. They either were for sin or for give God recognition. Well, if you always give God recognition, he doesn't need the sacrifices. And he told them that, but they weren't going to change. It's just like people. They don't change. It's not that far away when he tells them he desire their sacrifices. He desires them. And most people miss the them part. It's very obvious. It's not the sacrifice was for his recognition or for their sin, which he does not desire. He doesn't desire recognition just because he's saying, you have to see me on these days. You don't have to come to my temple. If you recognize me every day, and that's what he gives us. We can spend time with God. We're free. That's why I like that so much, is because the desire of God isn't to recognize sin, because that's what happens. He recognizes us as being free, and we can always come to God. So that's what I get at, take out of that.
Quiet here. So when I just wrote underneath, and your law is within my heart, which is love. Yes, sir.
I really like the study, and in particular, the Exodus 33, because that picture, Moses is saying, hey, you ain't going with us, we ain't going, but more than that, so the recognition of Moses knowing he's with us, but also being evidence in the world that we're different because God is going to be with us. And then as you go through the scriptures of our way, slowly that transition comes, where now it's Christ in us, hope of glory, Christ in us, which we also, we want to yes, but we also should be seen as different in the world as well as we walk that out. So I think that picture is awesome. Of course, I read the prayer
one
more thing.
Oh yeah.
But in all of that, we are, as we set our hearts on Jesus with us. And it's evident in our lives and to other people, our thinking is transformed, and then we do begin to invite ourselves.
And what is that definition?
Transformed?
Well, our thinking is being
calm, renewing of the mind,
which is?
It's
repentance. It's a change of mind that I agree with God. It doesn't mean, oh, boo-hoo, whoa, I got to stop doing this. That could be godly sorrow. That could be whatever. But when God shows you something, you reveal, and you say, you're right, God, and I'm wrong, and I change my way of thinking, and then I start walking because I speak there, I believe, therefore I speak. Or faith, my faith is my walk of what I truly believe in my heart that God's doing in me. Like, I'm not going to walk something out. So as he changes my mind and I agree with him, that's the definition of repentance. It can bring other things, but that's the simple definition. I like simplicity because anything else is from the evil. That's what the scripture says.
So the other thing is, what is the antithesis of all of that?
What's that?
Everything you talked about, the antithesis is the exact scripture where you don't even have to plug in spiritually. And that's why God says, I do not like the sacrifice.
The greatest thing any one of us can ever do is say,
absolutely. Say what?
Yes. Let. I've already, you guys know that I'm a garden salad guy. Lettuce. Pray. Let us go on with the Lord. Let us. It starts with let. God, and the very first word of God in Scripture is let. And it's very important that we hear His word and we allow His word to set us apart, to teach us how to think, to renew your mind. And it's kind of neat that you use that, because what does Jesus say? And the marriage is a picture of Christ and the church, right? So listen to what Jesus said, and we're going to link it to Ephesians 5. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Right? That was John 17. Ephesians 5 was what said. I forget, so I'm going to have to look it up. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. There's something to think about, guys. There ain't nothing you can do to save yourself. He's even going to save your body. But, just as this church is sub... Wait a minute. It's in here. Oh, first. Anyway. Husbands love... We're going to start here. Husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church. And gave Himself for them. That why? Why? This is the picture. That He might sanctify and cleanse her by the washing of the water by the word. That He might present her to Himself a glorious church. Do you see, it's like, this isn't telling you, hey guys, like, you gotta do all this stuff to fix your wife. This is a time and opportunity to see yourself as the bride of Christ. You, each of you. Huh? Well, okay, but we're the bride of Christ.
Neither can we.
Every person in here is considered and being taught here, you're the bride. Now, let Him sanctify. Let Him save your body. Let Him wash you. Let Him renew you. Let Him change you. Hey, you might stop complaining about your wives more and start looking at how you interact with God, and you might understand why your wives are acting that way with you. Because we grumble and complain and have multiple ideas. And the way we walk with God is like a woman's brain. I guess I'm deleting this. No, I'm not. Because my wife can say, hey, what are you thinking about? And it's about an hour conversation on one item. And I'll be like, what are you thinking about? And it's about 100 conversations in about 30 seconds. Because she's got like things going. And somehow they all link. And I'm like, I was just thinking about Jesus. Or I was thinking about what I had to do today. One thing. Because when it gets multiple, I freak out. So, we have the ability. It's His Word, which is Himself. But we need to start recognizing that we are the bride of Christ and that He wants to sanctify us. He wants to set us apart. But we need to remember, He's the Word, He did the work, and He's still doing the work. So we go to Hebrews to finish it, and it says, He who has entered His rest, meaning your own, has first ceased from His own works. Or entered God's rest. If you want to enter into the rest of the Lord, Hebrews says, stop trying to work it out. Let Him work it out. Trust in Him. And then He says, come unto me.
Sometimes I get overloaded. I got overloaded last time. It was bad. Bad overload, but it's because I'm trying to do too much, and I found that it's just a little overload, and I know I'm getting overloaded. I can literally shut my brain off. And most men can, and it drives women nuts because they can't. My wife has asked me more than once when she was alive, hon, what are you thinking about? Nothing. And that's just because I got overloaded during the day, and I needed to come home and just think about nothing. And that drives women nuts. And then the next day I'm refreshed, and I go, Lord, okay. What do you want me to do today? My mind is refocused. But if you ever want to drive your nut and your wife really crazy, just go into that dead mode where you just good and just sit there. That one just, because they can't do it. They can't slow down their mind. They can't just stop.
Or try to answer their question, try to fix the problem.
Yeah.
And they just want you to listen. But you know what, though? It's how we act with the Lord. It's like, fix it. No, I just want to vent, or I want to share, and the Lord, like, here's your answer. You know, you ever have somebody come and you say, well, just do this. Here's the word. Listen to the word. I used to do that all the time. It's simple. The word of God answers it. If you believe it, rest in it. But, you know, a lot of times we really don't want the answer. We just want to complain. And that's flesh. You know, we're another will of God is to rejoice, always pray without ceasing. Because this is the will of Christ in God, Christ Jesus. Right? So walking out His will and believing and resting, but it starts with delighting. But it really starts with the work that He's done. And if, write anything. If you go into the New Testament, you're going to find that the sanctification process takes place when the Holy Spirit comes into your life. If anybody, you want to look, it's in, there's some Hebrews, Corinthians, it's kind of all over. So it's Christ is our sanctification, but He wants to continue to draw you closer to Himself. Just like in your relationship with, hopefully, your bride. I hope you're still trying to allow the love that you have for her to draw you to herself and away from the rest of the world going after them. Unto yourself, I think that's what marriage is, right? Like, or do you not care and just let them go? You know what I'm saying? Your love should increase. It shouldn't be left or thrown away or stagnant. And a lot of times it just, never mind. Anyway, so if we want to enter into His rest, we have to cease from our own work. There's only one work you and I can do to please the Lord. Does anybody know what that is?
Believe
on the Lord Jesus Christ. He tells us that in John 6. What is the works of God that we might do? Believe on Him who He sent. Rest your belief on Him. Stop striving, stop struggling, and be thankful. To be looking unto Him and say, I'm a mess.
Trust me.
Trust Him. I know, faith, I know, you like the trust word. And it's resting completely on His grace.
His yoke is light.
Well, that's where I'm going next. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give it to you. I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy.
Work for rest.
You have to work from it. We work from our rest. I can rest. I, like Paul says, I believe, therefore I speak. Yes, sir.
It's also like the Bible says that we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. But a lot of Christians try to work to sit down.
Or build the seat.
You work yourself into a place where they're seated with Christ.
Oh, and here,
all you have to do is sit down.
Mountain Transfiguration. Right. Oh, this is great. Let's build. Hear Him.
But what did they do? They took Him out.
They rested. Yeah, but so I know, I don't know, this is all understanding. It ministered to me to understand that there's a work in this world that I can't do. And I should have known this a long time ago. I was talking to Kent the other day. It's just like a testimony for me, and that is when I got saved, it's like I knew for some reason the Lord had it. You all have these thoughts when God wants to do this great thing through my life. Ooh, ooh, ooh. You know, and He has this great, wonderful plan, like to build. And I had, when I got saved, I read the Old Testament. I didn't read the New Testament because I thought He put it in order for me. So David wanted to build the temple. And God said, you can't, because you're a man of blood. And I know from my past, I felt like I entered into that truth of being a man of blood. And if you wanted, I could do whatever. And I've always struggled with that, but I did understand that I can make preparations for the Son. But then I just, like coming down the road this week, the Lord showed me that we're all men of blood. No one can build, none of us can build the temple of God. It's own work only He can do. He's building you up into your most holy faith. Right? I'm surrendered to His grace. I'm walking in will. And I got, your salvation, I can't do nothing about. I couldn't do anything about it for myself. I can't do it about anybody walking it out on the streets. I have, the only thing I have to offer is Christ. And I got to let Him out and allow Him to reveal Himself so people can see the beauty of His grace and the mercy that comes along with it so that they can find rest for their souls. See, I got to get them, you know, my job is to be a sign. You know? Like, pointing, yield, bump ahead, one way, go that way. Not a sign saying, come here, I'll give you all the answers. It's a pushing off, a sign to push people into Jesus. Because that's the only thing that helped any of us, and I think we could all agree with that. If He says anything through, if anything you gain out of anything being said today, it ain't from a human being. It's from Jesus Christ Himself. He's the teacher. There's only one. And there can only be one. And we have to look, and He's getting His teaching and instruction from the Father, because they're one. He's given us the Holy Spirit that we might be one. End of John, it said that they might have the love that would, you know, fill with your love. But then you go to Romans 5:5, it says hope doesn't disappoint, because anybody know the rest of it? The love of God has been poured into your hearts by the Holy Spirit. You have it. He's given you everything you need for life and godliness. He's called you unto holiness. He's called you unto righteousness. Because it's a work He's done for you. And that's how it can be that you said earlier, shout, be holy. You're going to be. Because you already are. Because Christ is in you. And 5:21. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. You see, it's a substitution. It's Christ. When God looks down on this earth, you're either seen in the shadow of the blood of Christ, or you're being seen by your own works. So that's it. And do you want to stand before God and say, well, I did this, I did this, and I did this? Or do you want to say, thank you for sending Jesus, who laid down His life for us all? And the only reason why I can stand here and have this conversation is because He's before you, and you see Him, and Him, His life. It's Christ's life that's put up there before the judgment seat of God for you, not yours. Thank God. And that's all it can ever be. So stop striving, stop struggling, and start resting and believing and going after it. Walk in what He's created you for and enjoy it. But it's still a work of Him. But most relationships are built on communication that leads to intimacy. Hopefully. This world, it's like, well, that's not intimacy. But anyway, but do you guys understand when God calls you into the fellowship of His Son, right? Do you know what that means? He wants to be intimate with you. And I hope you guys know, you unmarried guys, I hope you don't understand this yet, but you married guys, I think it's most of the time one of our biggest trials or desires for our wives is to be intimate. And what happens during intimacy? The seed sown that brings forth fruit. It's the same thing the Lord wants to do in your life. He wants you to be intimate with Him so He can sow a seed and you can bear fruit, the fruit of righteousness unto Him. And anybody have any other thoughts? Because that's about all I got. Well, not really, but That's where we'll stop.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
I've got something to say. Something for you to think about. Now, first thing is, number one, if somebody in here is not saved, they need to be saved. If they haven't been saved, I would encourage you to receive the Lord as a love gift. Receive His promise, receive His life, receive Him, because He's the giver of life. Apart from Him, there is no life. And in Him, all things, in Him, we live and move and have our being as a Christian. But if the Lord speaks to your heart and you don't know Him, just avail yourself to Him. Just be open to God and don't be hard-hearted. That's what Israel did. They turned against God. They rejected Him. So be willing to hear God and accept Him. You know. But now in here, because I was that way, like us all here, before I was saved, I was lost. And now I'm saved because He made Himself known to that I was lost. And then I responded in faith because He gave me the will to come and ask Him to forgive me. But moving on from salvation, because we are saved, as Scott said, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30, here he says, "But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus." We stop right there. When you see these other things he offers here, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, I believe all four of those are, that's who he is. Man can gain wisdom. He can learn and progress in the world's wisdom. But there's a wisdom that's of the Lord, and it's only from the Father, and it's the true wisdom. It's not earthly wisdom, it's spiritual wisdom. And what I want to say is Christ is all in all. It says in there that we're complete in Him. What are we looking for that we haven't received? It's all in Him. Let me explain. Hopefully you can see it. It says in here in 1 Corinthians 1:30, we're in Christ Jesus, but He's our wisdom, I believe. He's our righteousness. He is the person of righteousness. He's the person of wisdom. And He's our sanctification. And He's our redemption. Because Jesus is the Redeemer that was slain in the mind of God in eternity past, that He knew that He would come. He agreed with the Father, and He did the Father's will. He surrendered Himself. He never did anything apart from His will. So what I want to say is, I think that He's the spiritual wisdom. We get that because the Spirit of God reveals Himself to us, reveals the person of Jesus. He's our righteousness because He's righteous. He's the righteous one. Before I was saved, I was unrighteous. That's why I lived for the flesh. And all of you or like me, when we come to Christ, we were going our own way. But now He's turned us around, and we're going His way, because He is the way. That's the way I see it. I see the way as a person. I see the redemption. He's the Redeemer. And then, listen, over here, there is a walk for the believer. Scott said, 1 Thessalonians 4, he says that, I was going to get on here, where the walk is. Oh, yeah. First, I'll read the first. Furthermore, Paul says, "We beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and please God, so that you will abound more and more." And, of course, why? Because it says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification." Okay? So, it's all leading to the walk of God, the will of God, the Word of God, and He's our sanctification. Sanctification, I don't believe, is anything that we're going to do. I think it's more than a doctrine. Because you can think about it in theology and be taught in a seminary and school that the doctrine of Christology, about Christ. But he's more than a doctrine. He's in his word. He's in our hearts. But he's in heaven seated on the throne. And he's everywhere. Where would we find a being? He's flesh and he's spirit. God is a spirit, right? And a living being. He's got a glorified body and flesh now when he ascended back to heaven. But here's what I'm saying. He is our sanctification. It says so. So now, but the thing Scott's bringing out, I think, is that we walk in him. And as we walk in him and as we allow the word to wash us daily as we come to feed from the word, it cleanses us or it reveals a dark thing. Like we're in the dark doing something we shouldn't. This will put the spotlight on you quick. Mm-hmm. And then you say, oh, I need a bath. I went to the shower, got a shower. Because when I work out in sweat, you worked hard on a job, you want to get cleansed and refreshed. You're blessed to have a physical cleansing. But most of all, you need a spiritual cleansing. And he's our cleansing. That's why I said in John, now you are washed through the word which I have spoken to you. So, I believe, and I want to just say to help me and encourage you, is that everything that he offers is who he is.
Because outside
of him, he says we're complete in him. And he's gave us all things. But to walk in what he's given us, experience him, live in him, and that's how we possess the vessel, the little tent, the little house we have. He lives in us. He's the one that's alive and well. And he's changing us every day, and he's making us more like him. He'll continue. I think maybe sanctification is a person, but it's threefold, I believe. He is all of sanctification, but he's sanctifying us daily as he's cleansing us. He's calling us to separation, because he don't want us to be defiled in the sense of walking the way we once was. Now we're walking a different walk because he's activating our hearts and life. He's at work in us, and he's the sanctifier. The Bible says he's the sanctifier.
Yep.
So he's doing this work in us, and he's bringing us to himself ultimately one day, but he's going to, and it says, be ye holy in the same chapter, verse 7 and 4. I couldn't make myself holy, but he is my holiness. Some people teach holiness as a work. Be ye holy. Don't do it. But I can't do it. What I'm saying is I receive all of who you are, and you gave me all I need, and I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied, and I'm longing for that day that I'll see him. Because he's my heart's desire. And like he said in Psalms 37, the delight of the Lord and all that, we long for him. One day we'll see him as he is. And I just want to try to be more free. What I'm saying is that he is our sanctification. So don't try to think you've got to help him do something. But just agree with him like Scott said. Agree with him and walk in him. Because if he wasn't in us, we couldn't walk. We'd be outside of him.
A dead man can't do nothing.
Anyway, to God be the glory.
Amen. One verse just to show about the Holy, I had said about the Holy Spirit now. So, and this is just one I just picked out. 1 Corinthians 6:11, and it says, and such were some of you, and you can read that on your own, of everything you weren't or were, but you were washed. You were sanctified. Past tense. It's finished. That work's completed. You were justified, past tense, in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. So you see, it's the Father and the Son loving the Father and walking in the perfect one desire. And the Holy, I'm going to fall apart because it's just the work that God does as we fall in love with him. And then we understand, I can't, but he can and he wills to do for his good pleasure. And it's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So, with that said, you want to pray? Does somebody want to close us in prayer?
So then who do you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of
God? See, that's the
that's setting you apart.
Yeah, it's the Holy Spirit in you. It's the sanctification. Well, it's actually the Father's, how all that works. And I don't know. But anyway.
Who is the guarantee of your redemption?
Right. Yep. Thanks. Anyone want to close this in prayer?
I have one on the road. Can I read it real quick?
Hello. I don't care.
This is Psalm 36, 9. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. That's not right.
Anyone else before we pray? Is there anybody in here who needs prayer? Does anybody need prayer for something? All right, well, since we're all good, Father, we thank you, Lord, that we're complete in you. And Lord, that you formed us with the vacuum to know you, to want to go after you. And Lord, help us to walk in the reality of the purpose for which you sent us, and that's just to know you. And may we grow in our understanding of who you are, Lord, and understand even greater that it's only you that can will and do for your good pleasure through in us and through us, because you have that desire for the world to know. So, Lord, we ask that you would give us a greater desire, a greater delight in you, Lord, so that you can increase and we decrease, and that you would be glorified. We just thank you for this time together and the fellowship and the unity that right now there's one here, and that's because of the work that you did and continue to do. So we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name.